Bible. And in it, he found the words of John 3:16 in the very front, not back in John, but in the very front of the Bible here, the words of John 3:16. I'm going to do my best to read this. Porque de tal manera amó Dios al mundo que ha dado a su Hijo unigénito para que todo aquel que en él cree no se pierda, mas tenga vida eterna. I say it in Spanish because what compelled this gentleman was that God's word was in several foreign languages. When I say foreign to many of us English-speaking folks, in the front of God's word here, this Gideon Place Bible. John 3:16 we know in English, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, eventually this gentleman would come to know Christ as his Savior. And in fact, today he is a preacher over a congregation down in South St. Petersburg. You see, every day, and every time that your heart beats, the Gideon's International distributes at least one scripture somewhere throughout the world. And I'll ask Brother Dennis to start the first video, please.
Lost my home, lost my job, and ended up on the streets.
I found it a suitable place for me to hang myself.
We found our son had taken his own life on our property.
Just as the distribution was ended, someone placed a testament in my outstretched hand.
That one testament had a great impact on our lives and our family.
This is an opportunity for me to have a new testament.
As I began to read the book of Revelations, I could see how much God loved me.
It was like for the first time in my life that I really felt acceptance.
I'm fixing up this drug and I see the Gideon's Bible. But there was a force compelling me to pick this up. You know, he says he'd take away all the weights and burdens that you have. They were gone.
It has given me hope for daily living in the worst circumstances of my life.
Then I knew that there was someone who loved me.
All I said was, yes, Lord. And it was like I was born again right there.
The Gideon's International is an association of Christian business and professional men and their wives dedicated to telling people about Jesus through associating together for the service, sharing personal testimony, and by providing Bibles and New Testaments. While we are often recognized for our work with hotels, we also place and distribute scriptures in strategic locations so that they're available to those who want them, as well as to those who may not know that they need them. I might point out also that Gideons are all members in good standing of local churches, just like I'm a member here. Where are we? We're in 201 countries distributing God's word in 107 different languages, and to date, we've placed over 2.2 billion Bibles going back to 1908. Recently, we were allowed in the country of Tuvalu. I'd like to tell you more about it, but I had to Google it to find out where it was even on the globe. Some of the locations that we're in are places like penal institutions. We distribute to members of the armed forces, hotels and motels. We place God's word in hospitals, and we'd like to distribute them to school students. Our wives, the auxiliary, are specifically tasked with ministering to those in the public nursing field and in medical facilities such as hospitals and doctor's offices. And we have a faith fund, which is our international effort to supplement Gideon camps worldwide that may not otherwise be able to purchase enough scriptures to meet the demand. Now, last year, or in years past, I've talked to you about how we are distributing God's word around the world. And so this year, I wanted to take the opportunity to tell you a little bit more about what we're doing here locally. But we'll start with another video testimony, this one of Pat Shelton, who received God's word in a penal institution. Brother Dennis?
What can I do that would make my daddy happy and spend time with me? I was 6 years old, and I said, I know what I'll do. I'll get him a beer. Well, I got a beer and my fingers wouldn't open it up, so I took a spoon and I popped it open. And I ran up to my daddy and said, look what I done, Daddy. This is for you. He said, all right, son, you open it, you drink it. That was the first time I was ever drunk. I had so much anger and rage. My dad was an alcoholic. My sister sold drugs. By the time I was 12 years old, I was selling drugs in school. By the time I was 17, I was collecting money for other drug dealers. At one time, I had 35 pounds of meth on my back, $250,000. I had 72 cops, 6 dogs, and 2 choppers after me. I was running from the law. Ended up going to jail when a Gideon named Charlie Waters came into my cell, looked me straight in the eye, and told me, Jesus loves you and I love you. I looked at him and said, well, undoubtedly he don't know me. So one day he was telling us about this man, Jesus, and I felt this tear start coming up in my eye. And I started fighting that so hard because I was Pat Shelton. I was a man that collected money. I was a drug dealer. I collected money from other drug dealers. I was burning houses, blowing up cars. I was destroying families. Nothing made me cry. And I didn't know what to do. And Charlie came in and told me, would you do this for me? Would you read this book for me? I read the book of John, and I got over there, and I got to reading about all these people. I read about Peter, and I wrote about all these people in here. And I said, they were nice guys, but this Jesus has got it going on. And then I realized, this man truly died for me. And I got down on my knees, and I said, Lord, I don't know you, don't know nothing about you. But if you can take this pain and this suffering, this rage and this anger from me and this addiction, I won't give you my life, I'll surrender. And right at that moment, he spoke to me, and he gave me forgiveness. He said, I forgive you. Well, I came up excited. Finally got out of jail. When I got out of jail, I said, God, I'll never come back to this jail. You get me out here, I'll never come back. 1 year to the day, he called me to minister. I went back to the jail. I've been doing the jail ministry for 9 years. We've had over 800 men come out of that jail. Since then, I serve a God that's a God of restoration. He has restored my family. I led my mom and daddy both to the Lord. And he's given me a chance to go out and tell people how wonderful he is. And all this happened. All this happened because of one man. One man never gave up. And that's why I'm doing what I do today, is because he loved me enough to tell me.
Clearly he wasn't in our community, but what is a penal institution. What does that look like in our community here in East Pasco? In East Pasco, we serve the Zephyr Hills Correctional Institute. You know, the one on 301 here just south of town. We serve the Pasco County Jail. And we serve a psychiatric recovery center. In fact, that psychiatric recovery center is where I went, ran into the pastor that I talked about when I opened up. The one that wanted to know if I was bringing Bibles and New Testaments into that institution. Members of the armed forces, I can tell you that I had an opportunity to talk to a deputy about the Lord, and I gave him a New Testament. He reached in his Kevlar and pulled one out that he had been given in, they call MEPS, when he was introduced or inducted into the military, and he still carried it. Hotels and motels. We don't have as much growth here in Zephyr Hills as we see in Wesley Chapel. Wesley Chapel's in our territory, though. It's in all in East Pasco. We cover everything from U.S. 41 all the way out to the county line, from Hillsborough County up to Hernando. And the growth that we see in Wesley Chapel is huge, and the demand is huge. And I can tell you that even some of the new facilities that we service up there are receptive to it. Now, they've had to dial back what they do a little bit because there's atheist organizations that are trying to keep us out of the hotels and keep us from taking Bibles and giving them out. So what they've done in large measure, especially in places where it's sort of high profile, is they will receive the Bibles and they'll keep them behind the desk of the hotel and they'll give them out on request. But there's still an awful lot of facilities here in Zephyr Hills and in Dade City, some of the more rural areas where there's less pressure from these atheist organizations and other places, where they still place them in the drawers and on the nightstands inside those hotel rooms. Recently, we were able to get into the new Howard Johnson, and there's a second one, I'm sorry that I haven't written in my notes, but there's two new hotels that we've been able to place Bibles in. And again, they've been very receptive to it, and they keep them on hand for those requests. Hospitals, you know, we serve Florida Hospital in Zephyr Hills, but I'll call it the new hospital in Wesley Chapel. We serve that one as well. This is one of the places where another strong demand comes from. They have a very robust chaplain service in Florida Hospital, Wesley Chapel, and they call us on a regular basis asking us to bring them scripture so they can give to the patients. Clearly, when people are in moments of crisis at the hospitals, one of the times when they question, you know, who is this God and does God really heal me and things like that. School students. Did you know the Pasco County Schools will not let us on their campus? And in fact, they won't let us on the sidewalk in front of their campus. Well, that's free, right? I mean, that's government property, right? So you should be able to go. Well, we try not to step on too many toes. We try to be respectful of those rules that people place on us because we don't want to be kicked out of additional locations. So we don't go to public schools unless we're invited by a Christian organization, and then we'd be more than happy to come and distribute. You say, well, you're preaching to the choir on that occasion. The Legacy Club was one of them that we recently did a distribution. While it's very true that most of those kids may have been saved, I can guarantee you that there were probably one or two, maybe more, that were there just to get out of a class. And so we were happy to distribute those New Testaments, and we sort of quietly encourage the students to use them as witnessing tools if they're already saved. One of the other ways that we can distribute to students is at the Pasco County Fair. We're also invited to help out Hernando County at their fair. We've been invited to the Strawberry Festival to help out with them. But recently, at our Pasco County Fair, we distributed about 1,600 New Testaments, targeting school-age children from 5th grade through 12th. And then the public nursing field. I'll segue over to another testimony. Dennis and Rebecca went to Vacation Bible School separately. Each of them were introduced to Christ in that program. They would live their lives as sort of nominal Christians, not really living out their faith. Eventually, Rebecca would go to Pinellas Junior College, it was back then. I think it's a state college now. And she would receive a little white New Testament, one of these, but in white. The white ones are what we give to medical students, so I'm thinking she might have been in nursing or something.
And Rebecca received a little New Testament while at the Pinellas Junior College. Eventually, Dennis and Rebecca would marry, and they would go on a honeymoon to Hawaii. And while they're in Hawaii, they talked about getting back into church. Dennis had gone through, as a child, had gone through a terrible family ordeal where his family was broken up, and he was rejecting Christ because I guess he felt some bitterness or something. They would get married. They would come back to the United States. Dennis secretly hoping that his wife wouldn't make him actually go back to church since he still harbored these feelings about what he had experienced as a young man. And then she experienced a miscarriage in 2002. Despondent, she went for that little white New Testament that she had been given at Pinellas, or St. Pete, I guess it is, junior college. She read through the New Testament where the words of Revelation 21:4 comforted her. It says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more crying, no more mourning or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." This is just the comfort that she was looking for. And she put the Bible down and began to pray. And from that point on, Dennis and Rebecca both sought ways that they could serve God. In a time of prayer, Dennis heard God speaking to him, "Don't get too comfortable in this place. I'm about to move you for my service." And today, Dennis and Rebecca are in full-time ministry. You may recognize the name Harmison because they're in full-time ministry at the Zephyr Hills Wesleyan Church. As a result of that one New Testament, Dennis, Rebecca, and their entire family now are saved. Another example of a Bible distribution, a New Testament distribution on a college campus, is with Robin Wilkes, and we have a video with hers. Brother?
I always have to do that. In heaven, though, I'm going to go like that. All right. Well, it's great to be here with you. And my name is Robin Wilk, and I want to encourage you, because if it wasn't for the Gideons, well, I mean, God could do what he wanted, but you all had a very profound impact in my life. So I'm Robin, and I would greet you with shalom because I'm Jewish. Both of my parents are Jewish, and I was taught from a very young age that Jewish people do not believe in Jesus. And so I accepted that, and I remember our rabbi told my parents that, in fact, Christians were responsible for the Holocaust. And so I grew up with a real hatred toward Christians, Jesus, the church. And when I walked by a church, I would want to spit on it. And so that was how I grew up. And then my life began to fall apart in high school. And I had grown up going to synagogue and all of these things, and being Jewish was very important to me. But somehow, when life began to fall apart in high school, my Judaism didn't quite answer the questions. And I remember partying with my high school friends. I was looking for something to fill that void in my life. My parents were separated and things were just falling apart all around me. Well, I decided in high school that the way to deal with this was that I was going to become the best flute player in the entire world. So I went to college after high school. And I remember I went to Wichita State University. We lived in Kansas City at the time. So here I am, a Jewish girl in Wichita. Not too many of us there. And there was a girl in the dorm next to me, and she was a very bold evangelical Christian. And she told me, "Jesus is the Jewish Messiah. You need to believe in him." Well, I told her a few things as well, and I'm not going to repeat them here because I'll get kicked out. But basically, I told her, "You don't know what you're talking about. Jewish people do not believe in Jesus. I'm Jewish. It's fine for you, but don't bother me with this." And I said, "I bet you're one of those fanatical Christians that are going to tell me I'm going to go to hell if I don't believe in Jesus." And she said, well, I would tell you that. So, you know, evangelism 101, maybe not. But at that point, I didn't want anything to do with her. And I went into my room. And as I was walking to my room, she cried out after me, well, I'm going to pray for you. I said, don't pray for me. I don't want your prayers. She said, I can pray for you if I want to. It's a free country. So she prayed for me, and I went into my room that night, and I actually got a little bit fearful. I thought to myself, what if what she said was true? So I didn't really want to go to hell necessarily, although I considered myself an atheist. I didn't really even believe in hell, but somehow it got my attention. So I told God that night, I said, all right, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if you're really there, prove it to me. And I'll believe anything that you want me to believe, but please let it not be Jesus. So I was very open-minded. And so I began to pray that prayer, and a bunch of people were praying. And a bunch of things happened after those prayers. So in an English class, I was given a term paper assignment. This was a secular university. The way the professor did it was he took a hat. I don't think it was like any of the hats that you guys wore tonight, but it was just a hat, and he would put the topics in, and so we had to pick out a topic, and whatever we got, we would have to write on. So my topic was how we got the devil. Yeah, I mean, coincidence, right? And, you know, nobody wanted to trade with me. I tried to trade, and funny thing, nobody wanted that topic. Kind of like in school when my mother sent me to school with a sardine sandwich, nobody wanted to trade their peanut butter and jelly. So I was stuck with this topic, and I was going to have to go out and read a Bible or find a Bible to get some answers. So I didn't really know where to look, being in Wichita, and I remember going into Kmart. I don't even know if Walmart existed then, but all they had was the New Testament with it, and I wasn't going to pay money for a New Testament. Plus the fact that that book was taboo for me, I was not allowed to read it. Well, I'm on my way to a speech class one afternoon, and I don't even remember if I had written the paper or whatever, but a really nice man called a Gideon came up and offered me a nice little green New Testament. And he was so nice, and he offered it to me, and I basically cussed him out and said, I am so sick of you Christians. Why are you pushing your religion on me? And I went into my class, and I could not get that Bible out of my mind. And I began to think, well, I should at least go out and get one and see what I don't believe in. I should at least, like, take one. That couldn't hurt, right? So after class, I went out to a different Gideon, and because I had yelled at the first one. And I took a Bible, and it was, you know, for me, as I said, a taboo book, so I hid it. And at some point during the day, I went into my dorm room and I opened it up and I began to read the Gospel of Matthew, first time ever. The only Bible I actually heard was growing up with the Peanuts, and they would always recount the Christmas story. But I began to read Matthew, and I was amazed at the Jewishness of this book. And I began to wonder why we didn't believe in this Jesus guy. The word of God does not return void, right? Amen. So that really got me thinking, and I began to ask questions. And in early May, a guy named Josh McDowell came to our campus, and you might know him. But he was an atheist who sought to disprove Christianity, and in the process became a believer. He talked about Jesus, liar, lunatic, true Messiah. But he also gave evidence for the resurrection. I realized that it would have taken more faith to believe that Jesus did not rise from the dead than if he did. And I found myself having to believe this. So 3 nights after that, I was talking to that girl in the dorm, asking her a lot of questions. And she answered most of them, not all of them. But I knew it was true. But I got to tell you, it took me about 3 hours to actually say a prayer because it was an incredible struggle. How could I turn my back on everything that my parents taught me to believe? How could I become a traitor to my people and to my Jewishness? I couldn't deny it, though. I had to pray, and so I ended up at about 2 or 3 in the morning praying with this girl, her name was Janice, to receive Jesus as my personal Messiah, telling God that I believed that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. And I felt numb after I did that, and Janice got really excited. She's jumping around the room, and she's like, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I didn't know at the time she was speaking in Hebrew, but she was. Yeah. So I thought all Christians were completely, like, crazy. And I went into my room that night, and I got about 3 hours of sleep, and I woke up the next morning, and I was a different person. There was love, joy, and peace in my life that had not been there the day before, and I knew that God had dramatically transformed my life. So I was excited. New believer, zealous for my faith. My parents came and they came to pick me up from college. My dad did, and I said, Dad, guess what? Jesus is the Jewish Messiah. You need to believe in him. Well, he didn't, and when I told my mother, she told me, I'd rather have you tell me you were gay, on drugs, pregnant, or flunking out of school, but what you've done is the worst thing you could have done to our family. So I lost my relationship with my family at that time, and things really got bad when I told them I was going to be traveling with Jews for Jesus on the music team temporarily. Not what every Jewish parent wanted to hear, but so I traveled with a music team, and they disowned me. They didn't have a funeral, but they wanted nothing to do with me. And but I've been a believer since 1981. It was May 2nd, so it's coming up, 1981, that I gave my life, or that God took my life, because he's the one that chased me. And so my life, amen. My life has dramatically changed. My family, I'm still the only believer in my family. My parents are quite hostile to the gospel. They live in this area, and yet they have seen an incredible change in my life. I'm different than my entire family only because what God has done in my life. And now, because God used Gideon in my life to hand me a New Testament, I'm now a believer, and I now, in turn, share the gospel with Jewish people in this area here in South Florida, telling Jewish people, hey, Jesus is our Jewish Messiah. And so I'm really grateful for all of you who do what you do, and I actually go out on the street, too, and hand out literature and talk to people, so I know exactly what it is to meet people like me. And believe me, God's given me a few people like me, so it's kind of, you know, yeah, it's a little payback, but it's okay, because we rejoice because we can participate in what Jesus participated in, and we rejoice in his sufferings. But just thank you for what you do, because it was used to transform my life as a Jewish person, so thank you so much.
Amen. God's word is still transforming lives. Amen. Yeah. The a couple quick things that I wanted to point out was, A, that she was willing to abandon all. The Bible said, Jesus, I think, told us that, that we can't follow him if we don't hate our mother and our father and our children, right? He didn't mean literally hate, but that we're willing to abandon them for him and for his purposes. The second thing I'd like to point out, she mentioned that the New Testament she was given was green. I mentioned to you the white ones are the medical testaments. You'll see the little brown ones that I give out. Those are, we call those personal witnessing testaments that Gideon's used to do personal witnessing. The periwinkle are what the auxiliary, the ladies use for in their witnessing efforts. Orange is for the students. But all of that is just so we can keep inventory. They're all exactly the same inside. They all have the New Testament, Psalms, and Proverbs. In the front, they have those helps, where to go if you're sad or angry or you need, you need joy or peace in your life. And in the back, the Roman road or the road to salvation, as well as the sinner's prayer and a place to sign, as you mentioned in the previous video, if you said that sinner's prayer. And so today, you may be asking how you can partner with us. And I can assure you that just by being a member of the church here at Fairhaven, and just by allowing me to do this presentation, you're supporting us. But we ask you and we covet your prayers, and we ask you to pray for us. Pray that we will be able to get in additional countries. As I mentioned to you, your prayers got us into Tuvalu. Your prayers a couple years ago got us into China. But there are still a number of countries that we would like to get into, particularly in places that are hostile to the message of the gospel of Christ. Because Christ told us to go and preach to all the nations, regardless of whether they're hostile to us or not. Pray for us also that the funds would come in to continue to supply scriptures throughout the world and throughout our community. What we like to call a local impact with a global reach. I have here our pending orders list for our international fund, which helps us to distribute Bibles around the world. Places like Zambia, Ecuador, Micronesia, Uruguay are asking for a total of about 3.4 million scriptures to distribute. We have scripture blitzes where we will go in and we will literally distribute thousands of Bibles and New Testaments in the order of 2 or 3 days. And we'll go into hotels and hospitals and various places where our Bibles are already kept, and we'll make sure that they're in good repair, place new ones where they're needed. Places like Kenya, Indonesia, Austria, Bolivia, Chile, Nicaragua, and Ecuador are asking for hundreds of thousands of Bibles. This is what our international organization says. Previously, this report included information related to scriptures that were on order and awaiting shipment, receipt, and placement. But now, only those scripture orders being held due to a lack of funds. And so, literally, somebody has requested these Bibles, and we're not able to ship them because we're not able to provide the funds for them. Most of our New Testaments are as inexpensive to provide as $1.25. The Bibles we can place anywhere across the world for $5, and in any of those 107 languages. Also, please pray for us that we would have additional workers that would come. The field is white with harvest, but the laborers are few. Amen. And so we need men and women to step up and to help us in our community. I can tell you, because I'm in Wesley Chapel and most of our members are in Zephyr Hills, a few are in Dade City, that it can be quite a challenge to try and answer all the demand for Bibles in the various locations where we distribute them, our distribution points. Remember that the qualifications for Gideon are that you're a member in good standing at a church and that you're a businessman or professional. Pastor will have to give you a recommendation. And then finally, pray for open doors. Again, pray for open doors like the ones that we got in Tuvalu in China. Pray for open doors in our neighborhoods, like in the public schools that I talked to you about a few minutes ago. Being businessmen and professionals, we like to bring a little value to the table. So one of the ways that we can provide value is through our Gideon Card program. And I'm going to ask Dennis to play, this will be the final video of the afternoon, to play our Gideon Card video. This is a brand new one for 2018. can tell you that the response to Gideon cards, when you send them to somebody when they're going through some kind of a struggle, when they've lost a loved one or something, is immense. A friend of mine whose father was a pastor over at Victory Baptist, when his father passed recently, I sent him a Gideon card, and in response, and I sent one to the church, or we as a group sent one to the church as well, and they sent a nice donation in response, sort of, to our placing Bibles in his name. But I can tell you also that on a regular basis, I'll get thank you cards, written thank you cards, back from people that I've sent these cards to. I'd like to just take a quick second to, if I can find what I did with them, read to you very quickly. I have two of them here. One of them is a thinking of you. We also have in recognition and in memory. Remember also that for $2 a piece, or there's 10 in a pack, you can get 20 Christmas cards. When Christmas time rolls around, we have thank you cards as well. And each $2 that goes towards those Christmas cards or those thank you cards places a New Testament somewhere in the world. On the back of them is a testimony so that the person, the recipient, knows the impact of the funds that have been given in honor of them or in honor of their loved one. This one says, and it shows a woman in a hijab, so she's clearly a Muslim. A Gideon visiting my country presented me a New Testament at my college. He showed me 1 John 5:13, and I read, "These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." I read the decision page and the sinner's prayer. I signed the testament, and the Gideon prayed for me. And so God's word impacting lives through these Gideon cards by funding Bibles and New Testaments throughout the world. We have a new program, relatively new, called Friends of Gideon's. There's two levels that you can be a friend. You can be a prayer partner for us. You'll get certain benefits, emails and newsletters and whatnot. With if you become a financial partner as well, which we cover your prayers, whether you're a financial partner or not, you'll get additional resources. You'll get some New Testaments, very much like the ones that we distribute. The only thing is they'll lack the little emblem on the front. And you'll have access to purchasing them at the same rates that we use them for. You'll get the New Testaments, you'll get the Gideon magazine, and you'll get the book, Secret to an Open Door. The description of the Secret to an Open Door is, what if you could be as bold in sharing the gospel as Apostle Paul? In this book, you'll discover the secret that made Paul one of the gospel's greatest evangelists. And then finally, I know we use the Life Book here with our youth. So encourage your youth to do peer-to-peer witnessing using that Life Book. It looks like this. And it is based on the book of John, a great witnessing tool for young people to use with their peers. And finally, I'd like to give you a series of thank yous. Thank you for taking the time to listen to me. Thank you for partnering with us as we take God's word throughout the world. Thank you for letting us be a part of your missions arm here in this church. And thank you for your prayers and for supporting us. Pastor, in a few minutes, Rob is going to take our general collection, the tithes. And then after the announcements, there'll be a separate offering for the Gideons to distribute God's word throughout the world, should you choose or should God lead you to make a donation towards Bibles and New Testaments. Thanks again for all your time. And with this, I'm going to take my hat off, my Gideon hat, and I'm going to put my Wayne, the Fairhaven Baptist Church member, hat on. I'd like to show you, you might remember from years past, this little black testament. This one is very similar to the current ones. Where's my? See, these are the ones. These are a little bit different color and shape. This one is black. It's a gift New Testament. And this one is kind of a burgundy brown color. And these are the ones that we use to witness. Well, this one's black because it would be a gift New Testament. You know, the pastor that led me to the Lord when I was around 6 or 7 years old, he wouldn't have been eligible to be in the Gideons because he's clergy. But he led me to the Lord and he gave me this little Bible, and I forgot all about it. 40-something years later, or 30-something, almost 40 years later, Jim Robbins, you know our member here, right, the Hallelujah guy? He's our Canadian friend. 30 years later, Jim drags me over to the first Gideons meeting. I was reluctant. I thought it was like a cult or something like that. You know, what kind of Bibles are those? No, they're Bibles. They're like Bibles, like King James Bibles and New Testaments that have the New Testament and the Psalms and the Proverbs in them. It's legit Bibles. And after a little while, it dawned on me that I had been given this little book. It was in my attic in a box of stuff that I just kept memorabilia. Am I the only one, or do you? I hope I'm not the only one. I know that. So I've seen some of your houses, right? And sure enough, there it was. And I look in the front, and it says presented to. It's got my name, Wayne Gabriel. Looks like a little boy wrote it in there. You keep going. It talks about the Gideons are in 75 countries. Now we're in, what did I say, 201? We're up to 107 languages. It tells you where to go if you're afraid, where to read if you're discouraged, disaster threatens, leaving home. And then we go all the way back to the back, and it says, God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It says, all are sinners, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It comes out of Romans. God's remedy for sin. It says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And finally, all may be saved now. For whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You look over, it says, my decision to receive Christ as my Savior. And it's got, again, in a little boy's handwriting, Wayne G., and the date 1972. And then it gives a few scriptures on assurance. And folks, I want to let you know today we prayed before service that all those things that I told you about that are in the front of this book, discouragement, despair, financial issues, family issues, whatever the case may be, God's word has the power to change your life. Because as it says in John 1, Jesus is the Word, and the Word was God. And I asked Miss Susan if you would play for us an invitation, the song of invitation here as we close out. Again, I've changed from Gideon hat to Wayne hat, right? And today I ask you, if you are struggling with something, whether it's sin in your life, what it refers to in this Word? It refers to sin as us being in slavery to it, and God can free us from that. And so whatever it is in your life today that may be holding you back from that full relationship, just like Pastor Dennis and Rebecca, whatever it is that may be holding you back, if it was financial or family pressures, God's Word has the ability to change your life and to restore that relationship with your loved ones and with Him. I'd ask you then to bow your head and close your eyes and let's pray. God, we thank you today. God, I thank you specifically for your word. Lord, I think about the way I grew up. I'm grateful, God, for everything that you've done, every move that you've made in my life. It's easy for me, Lord, because I see you at work in my life. When I saw my mother being hauled off to mental institutions, when I saw my parents arguing and fighting, my mother and my stepfather, saw law enforcement come to the front door. I saw the bitterness and the anger, when I saw the substance abuse, when I saw legal addictions to prescription medications, financial struggles, chaos and drama. God, there's no doubt in my mind but that you were at work in my life, because I wouldn't have made it without you. Today, Lord, I pray for that one person that's in this room today that's facing a struggle. Maybe it was similar to what I had or totally different. But God, that they need to know that you have the ability and the power to change their life. If they'll yield to you, if they'll yield to your word, that you can turn things around for them. And all those categories of our lives, family and finances and work and all the stresses and pressures and stress that we find, God, that you're there for us. That you thought enough of us even before the foundation of the earth, that you made a way. God, I know that there's broken hearts in this place, like mine was broken many, many times as a child. But that you're a healer, and that you'll heal those broken hearts, that you're the great physician, and that you'll tend to the broken bones, if you will, of our lives, to the broken hearts, the broken minds, the broken souls, God, that you can restore us to a whole relationship with yourself. God, that you can mend families, that you can change hearts and change lives. Above and beyond all, God, we thank you that you can free us from the bondage of sin in our lives. That the payment that we owe for our sin is death. The wages of sin is death, but that you made a way for us to be reunited with yourself, with God Almighty, through the precious blood of Christ Jesus as he died on the cross. Not just that he died, but that he was buried and he rose again victorious over death, over dying and sin. God, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'll let Miss Susan play for just a quick minute.